Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps. It's been a minute. Oh my god. Sorry about that. I did not intend to not release episodes, but I got busy and then Thanksgiving happened and I was out of town and more excuses, blah blah blah. But we're back. We're on season 3, episode 3, and joining me today is fan favorite Rachel.
Hi, everybody.
I don't know if anyone's ever a fan favorite, but I'm just going to say that every time.
I mean, I appreciate it, even if it's not true. You're my fan favorite.
Aw. Well, Rachel, do you like Gordon Ramsay?
I very much like Gordon Ramsay. Yes.
So, listeners, in the interim period between the last episode and this one, which will be coming out the same day I'm recording it, because I'm just going to, like, go from here, edit it, and release it, because I don't care. Or maybe I'll release it tomorrow. Who knows? We'll see how I feel. I have watched, no joke, 7 seasons of fucking Hell's Kitchen, and I'm currently on season 18.
Which, honestly, debatably, is, like, self-mental abuse, because... just like Hell's Kitchen is a lot. Like, that's the one I don't watch because I'm like, you know what stresses me out? People fucking yelling at each other.
See, it doesn't stress me out. I just am like, I'm like, yeah, Gordon, they are dumb and they do deserve to be yelled at. Like, because a lot of them are like cocky little assholes. Like, I refuse to ever root for a man on this show. Every season I've watched, with the exception of one, a woman has been the winner. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah. So
I refuse to ever let a man win this show in my eyes.
This is fair. See, I prefer the MasterChef route because, like, 9 times out of 10 when he's yelling at someone on MasterChef, it's because they're an amateur and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, yes, you fucking do, or you wouldn't be on this show. Can you just get it together?
Well, and I guess my friend Elise, friend of the pod, Elise, she's been on many episodes now, she sent me a picture of a billboard she saw last night of a new Gordon Ramsay show coming out called Next Level Chef. And that comes out literally January 2nd. And it looks like, it's like NFL, like, print Next Level Chef. It looks like it's going to be some sort of Hell's Kitchen type of thing.
That looks horrifying.
Yeah, honestly. So, Gordon, you need to slow down because I am not even through Kitchen Nightmares.
Not through so many shows. Okay, I will. So I know we talk a lot about, and I know other people also talk a lot about, like, is he a reality TV star? Or, like, can he actually cook? Like, how good of a chef is he? And we normally come down on the side of, like, he can cook. But I just wanted to, like, shout out to one of his recipes because his salmon en croûte is, like, on point.
Really?
And I guess that's also kind of tooting my own horn because I made it. But, like, the recipe is, like, very good.
Yeah. Do you wanna join me on my crusade to go to Atlantic City and go to his restaurant?
Yes.
That's just the one that's closest to New York.
I've wanted to go to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant for so long, but then he closed the one in New York City, and so I've been like, well, that's stupid.
The closest one I think is still Atlantic City, and then he has like 5 in Vegas.
Yeah.
There's a Hell's Kitchen restaurant in Vegas. Like, I wanna go. That's the only reason I would go to Vegas.
I don't want to go there.
I want to go to Gordon Ramsay restaurant, and I want to go to Guy Fieri's restaurants, and then I want to pass away quietly in my hotel room.
I want to go to Vegas. I went to Vegas one time when I was, like, 8 years old, and it was horrifying because I was 8 years old. But, like, that experience has really stuck with me.
I've never been to Vegas as a child or
an
adult.
We see the Luxor where the elevators go sideways because it's shaped like a pyramid. And it's really weird.
I don't like that.
Nobody does. I told my boyfriend that and he was like, we can't stay there. And I was like, why? It's cool. And he was like, no.
Just like, I would not go on the roller coaster on top of the whatever the fuck. I'm not going to do any stupid things. You know, I'm going to go to Vegas to see Lady Gaga or whoever the fuck is like in residence and go to Gordon Ramsay's restaurants. And then I'm fucking leaving because I don't care about Vegas. So, you know what? That's all we're doing. I was telling Caitlin that I want to be the level of famous where I get invited to be like a diner at Hell's Kitchen on the TV show, and And just have like them pan over to me, have my name on the thing, and have people at home go, who is she? Why is she famous? That's the level of fame I want, is people going like, why is she famous?
I want to be like D-list famous so that people will invite me to like co-host Nailed It or like do things like that.
Yeah, I want to do that kind of shit. That's the level of, I want to be like a guest judge on fucking Drag Race. Like, that's the level of fame I want.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to be stopped on the street. I don't want to like have my entire life infiltrated, but I want to be the level where I can be like, hey, Gordon, I want a good meal. Can I just like come eat on your show? And he'll be like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah. I want to be friendly with Gordon Ramsay, which, Gordon Ramsay, if you're listening, I'm terrified of you, but I would still love to speak. Please don't sue me.
Would just like love, love, love. Just be, oh my God, Courtney, we should create a theatrical piece about like a food journey through Gordon Ramsay.
We have to talk about this off camera.
Stay tuned, y'all. Stay tuned. This could be a
really good move. I still have yet to fulfill the Gordon Ramsay fan fiction promise, so we'll get that eventually too. It's been a year, y'all. Like, I've been busy.
She's gonna edit that out.
And I'm sick. Sorry. Cut that out. I gotta blow my nose.
I mean, I'm eating a Tootsie Pop. I'm being real professional in the podcast.
This is going to go great when I have to record Trailer Trash later today, too. Anyways, today we're back to the Kitchen Nightmares. We're back in 2011 or 2012 or whatever the fuck this was. And this week, Gordon is in Forest Hills in Queens visiting PJ's Steakhouse, a restaurant owned by Joe and Madeline, who opened it in honor of Joe's brother PJ, who died, but who used to own like that building, I guess. Neither of them have ever worked in the restaurant business. They both come from construction, but they invested $2 million into the restaurant. And now they're losing all of their money. They've already sold their house. This website says that they can no longer afford the lifestyle they are accustomed to. I assumed they were pretty wealthy from the construction that they were doing because they built their dream house.
They also showed that house, and that house was like swanky.
In Queens.
Okay, so I used to date someone who lived in Forest Hills, and Forest Hills actually is like bougie.
Yeah, it's kind of farther out. It's like towards the end of the train lines. It takes a little longer to get there.
It's like a full-on middle-class suburb.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the weird thing about New York, is people think of New York and they think of Manhattan. But, like, Queens and Brooklyn, very residential, very neighborhood. Just houses and apartments. And that's it. So, this is a steakhouse. Remember, everyone, this is a steakhouse. It'll come up a lot. So, Joe sits at the bar just drinking Shiraz while his wife just runs around yelling at customers and the kitchen, I guess. Nobody knows what they're doing. Gordon enters and he's like, wow, this is a pretty restaurant. It is a nice-looking restaurant. There is no makeover in this episode, which is very rare.
It doesn't need one. It is a perfectly lovely restaurant.
It's got, like, nice brick walls, like, brown leather chairs. The bar is really nice. Like, it is they invested money in this restaurant, and you can tell. But when Gordon enters,
which was their choice, apparently they didn't invest money in their chef.
We'll talk about Eric. We're going to talk about Eric a lot. Eric is like the star villain of this episode. He is the antagonist for sure. Although I feel like the chef they hired, we'll get into it. I'm so sorry, everyone. I thought my cough was gone, but I just haven't been speaking today, I guess. So we'll see. So Gordon gets to the restaurant. Nobody is at the host stand to greet him. It's just like an empty restaurant. And then he walks around, and there at the bar sits Joe watching TV, drinking wine. And he's like, hello, do you work here? And Joe's like, yeah, no one's here though. So I was just watching TV. And he's like, well, I'm here. Can I eat?
Also, there fully are people there. There's like two tables with customers.
Yeah. But yeah, so Joe and so Gordon sits down to eat. And he opens the menu and he's like, this is a steakhouse. There are two steaks on the menu. You need, he says, at minimum, 8 steaks on your menu to be considered a steakhouse. There's like no porterhouse. There's no New York strip. There's just like a filet and something else.
And something. Maybe a skirt. Like they don't even say what the other one is.
No. So he orders crab cakes because he always orders crab cakes. He orders shrimp and garlic ravioli, which they later labeled lobster ravioli. So I'm confused.
I was confused about that. Either way, it's good, but like I had questions.
No. But he always orders a lobster ravioli. It's like his favorite food. And then he gets a gorgonzola filet mignon. Gross. Don't put cheese on your steak. I love steak. I'm a steak girl.
That's not a hate out to like a Philly cheesesteak, but like there's a quality of meat that you can mix with cheese, and it's not a filet mignon.
No, a filet mignon is like, it's just supposed to be like butter. It's just, it's supposed to stand on its own because it's a filet mignon.
Yeah.
So good. Although I'm also the person that dips everything in A1 sauce, but that's just me. That's just
my monster.
I know. Everyone always like looks at me funny when I'm like, can I have A1 sauce? I love it. Although I did go to like a nice steakhouse with my dad once, and that steak needed no sauce. It was so good.
Which is how steakhouse should be.
Yeah. I also order my steak like pretty rare, so.
I do think it's interesting that like, I realized they only had 2 steaks, but also Gordon fully went to a steakhouse and was like, 2 out of the 3 dishes I'm going to order are going to be fish dishes.
Yeah, that was odd. But I guess he was kind of ordering what they had. I don't know why he wouldn't order at least both steak dishes.
That was my thought. I was like, order both steak dishes because theoretically those would be the 2 most popular items on the menu for
us. Well, I'm thinking he probably went for appetizer, a pasta dish, and then an entree. I don't know. It's either way, the crab cakes come out and they're these like, they look like crab cakes that I've made before at home with not crab. I make like fake crab cakes because I'm allergic to crab, but you can use artichoke hearts. But they're like very poorly put together and like just like flash fried. And they're like falling apart on this like little plate that's also covered in this like gooey mango canned sauce. And Gordon's like, did somebody just like splat on my plate? He's like, it's a coolie mango sauce. Like, what the fuck is a coolie mango sauce?
That's like not, I don't even know. Can you make a mango coolie? Like, just based on how a coolie is made. I'm like, I don't know that that's the vibe.
I'm going to Google it. We're going to Google mango coolie recipe.
Because I make coolie, but I make it with berries, which is like the normal situation. I didn't think mango as a texture would do that.
I guess it's more, it looks more like a marmalade.
Yeah, it's not a coolie.
They call it a coolie, but it looks more like a marmalade. What is a coolie? A coolie is a thick sweet sauce. I think I've made them with strawberries before.
Yeah.
For like samosas.
I mean, a coolie is essentially like, it's a cranberry sauce, but you make it with other things and you like strain it out so it's really thin. So it's like that drizzle of like a berry sauce on just brownie desserts, especially like that's a coolie.
Why would you put that on crab cakes though? Anyways.
I don't know because Eric is an idiot.
Yeah. What I guess. So crab cakes are gross. They're rancid. Also he found plastic in them, which I love that they show Eric going, I don't even have plastic in my kitchen. And then they show the plastic in the kitchen. I was like, oh, that's shady. That was shady on the editing.
And it's just everywhere. But I mean, there's also like, if you're buying, like if you're, if he, obviously if he's not using fresh crab, because
no,
it's Eric. He's not even using fresh lemons, which we'll get to.
Oh man.
I can't. But like, I mean, if you use crab that you buy pre like mashed in the little things, there can be plastic in it. Or sometimes it's not even plastic. Sometimes it's like leftover bits of shell. So you're supposed to just kind of like move your fingers through it and just like make sure that all of that shit is like not in your crab cake.
Again, I don't eat crab. I'm allergic to it. So I don't know these things, but this is why we have Rachel here, who eats crab cakes. So I make my vegan crab cakes, even though I'm not vegan, but they're still pretty good. So then he gets the steak, and the steak was tough, and they served it with raw onions, which is a choice.
Which is weird. You can serve cooked onions, like a sautéed mushroom
situation. Yeah, caramelize the onions and put them on top of the steak. That's delicious. But no, just raw onions. And then he gets the maybe lobster, maybe shrimp ravioli. It's really a big question mark. And honestly, he probably shouldn't have ordered it. But the like sauce was like rancid and it was just like disgusting.
It also looked very cheesy. And again, I'm like, why?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it just looked like oversauced.
Yeah. Like truly drowning, which I think some people like, but like if you've watched any of Gordon's shows where he like makes ravioli, this man does not believe in sauce on ravioli. He puts like two little droplets and is like,
oh, yeah.
Here we go.
That man loves his lobster ravioli. He orders it. I need to like go back and at the end of Kitchen Nightmares when we're done with all of them and be like, how many lobster raviolis did this man eat in his time on Kitchen Nightmares? Because whenever, that's the thing, if it's on the menu, crab cakes or lobster ravioli, we know Gordon's getting it. Like, honestly, though, it's a good indicator. If your seafood isn't fresh, then you shouldn't be having a restaurant with seafood. So,
I wonder if he ordered lobster ravioli at that episode where the lobster sent the dude to the hospital.
He did not. He ordered, like, a meatball and a pizza, because it was also a pizza restaurant.
Interesting.
Yeah, that restaurant's still open. I know where it is. It's in Brooklyn. I'm gonna go there. Season 4 or 5. I don't remember now. But Gordon finishes his meal, air quotes, and then goes into the kitchen to talk to them. The chef, Eric, is like, he is, how would you describe Eric as like a human? He is a pile of garbage with human flesh surrounding him.
He's also just one of those people who is so intentionally oblivious and just like creates his own reality. And that drives me crazy. Like you could walk up to him and be like, it's raining. He'd be like, no, it's not. And you could be like actively getting rained on. And he's like, sorry.
This episode is like a milder version of the Australian Burger Kitchen episode where the chef is just awful, but so are the owners. Because Madeline, Eric blames Madeline and tells Madeline that she doesn't do enough. Madeline blames Joe because she didn't even want to be in the restaurant business. But Joe's like, I just wanted to buy a restaurant and not have to do anything. And Gordon's like, that's not how anything fucking works.
That's not how it works. There's many situations on this show where people are like, I just bought a restaurant. And I'm like, there's no world in which I would just go, man, you know what I want to do? Invest millions of dollars in something I have zero experience in.
Yeah, like I get that he did it because of his brother, but like,
you but gotta like, did have he a or did his wife?
I think his wife pushed him to do it because he was in a like grieving period over his brother. But it seems like his brother was a good restaurateur, and then he died somehow. They don't say how he died. And, yeah, I don't know. Gordon sits down with Madeline to talk about money, and she says that they need to take in at least $17,000 a week to break even, and they're currently taking in $4,000 a week. That is insane.
Yoink. That is,
Gordon, like, looks like he's going to have a heart attack. Like when he hears those numbers, like he looks like he's going to die. They spent $1.4 million just to get it open. They sold their house. They've like done everything they can, but Joe is just fucking given up immediately. I feel like I don't think they say how long they've owned it.
No, they don't say how long they've owned it. But like, they have never been committed to it.
No. And like Madeline's saying that the reason they bought the restaurant was because it got Joe back to his normal self. I don't think Joe is okay. He needs a therapist.
He's drinking all the time. He's not in reality. He's not able to like get up and do any work. Like
not only is he like sad over his brother being dead, but now he's sad because he has no money. Like
at least be sad and wealthy.
Yeah. At least when you have money, you can be sad in Jamaica. Like you can be sad in the Bahamas.
I feel that sounds great. Like I'm sad anyway. I would love to be sad somewhere tropical.
I want to be sad in Hawaii, you know? I'll be depressed on a beach. So then Gordon comes back to do dinner. Which also there was a clip where Madeline looked at them, Eric and Joe, and was like, are we even opening for dinner tonight? Like, what are we doing? It's like, I think you have to if Gordon's coming back. So dinner service starts.
And I think the part where when like as dinner started, the show kind of mentioned like, and they were extra screwed over because whenever we go into town, more people come to the restaurant because they know that Gordon is there.
Yeah, so the restaurant's full. Also, Madeline is being the host and she's not very good at it. Everyone has to leave their coat at the front for some reason.
I died. When she was like, can I take your coat? And the lady was like, no, I'm comfortable. And she was like, you have to take it off. Like, you have to leave it here. And I was like, why?
Why?
Is the standard so high that this woman can't put her coat on the back of the chair or, like, keep wearing it? Like, why are you taking her coat hostage?
Yeah. And then they go into the kitchen and no food is coming out because Eric hasn't talked to anybody. No one knows where the food is going. Everyone's starving. It takes 2 hours to eat there, apparently, which is stupid because steak takes maybe 15 minutes to make.
Maybe.
A filet mignon, tiny, 8 minutes, a few minutes to rest, send it out. Like, It's not hard. And then Madeline is just walking around the tables going, you haven't got your food yet. Well, I don't know anything about the food. I only own it, so I know nothing about the food. And it's like, Madeline, you should know what the food is. Like, this is when we get... So food starts arriving at the tables and is immediately sent back because it's like cold or gross. And is this when we get the lemon chicken?
This is when we get the lemon chicken, yeah.
Yeah, so there's this table and they sent back their chicken Madeira. Because the sauce tasted like lemonade.
Lemonade.
And Madeline is like, comes back and is like, well, I looked at the menu. It's called a chicken Madeira. And they're like, you didn't know what it was.
But also she says that like she's had some revelation. And I'm like, okay, but your chicken Madeira sauce still shouldn't taste like lemonade. Like,
no.
You've figured out what the dish was.
Yeah. So it's just, and Joe is doing nothing. Like, we barely see Joe this episode for being his restaurant, I feel. Like, usually this is the type of person Gordon would, like, have a heart-to-heart with and, like, try to pull out of his, like, deep depression. But he doesn't do that at any point. He focuses on... Yeah, well, and he focuses all of his attention on Madeline and Eric, which is odd.
I also just feel that he was like, this man has given up, and it doesn't matter what I do. Like,
I could feel like Gordon kind of gave up in this one. He was like, I don't think I can save this. I think he knew he couldn't save this restaurant. So then Gordon goes down into the walk-in. We get kitchen inspection. And all that's down there is just boxes of moldy tomatoes and lemons and lettuce. Like, it's just all of their fresh produce has gone bad. and no one's ever checked it.
Which and makes it so, what are you cooking with?
Lemon juice from a bottle, apparently, instead of fresh lemons that are moldy. I made a note that Gordon was grunting a lot in this food search. He was just going, like, he was just grunting as he was, like, fisting these, like, fucking tomatoes. He does that, bro. He, like, grabs them and he's, like, putting his, like, hands all up in them, like, mushing them. He really gets in there with the middle. He touches everything. It's weird. I still don't understand that.
He's just a very touchy person.
Yeah. And then Gordon's like, the problem is your chef. And they're like, maybe the problem is our chef.
I'm like, how did you not notice that when, like, every plate of food you were sending out was getting sent back?
Like, yeah.
You might want to check on the quality of the food when that. And Joe is like, I thought Eric's food was good. And I'm like, did you think that in, like, the ether, or did you eat his food?
I believe they've never eaten his food. They just trusted his word. Or these people have, like, no idea what good food is.
That's also entirely possible.
So the next day, we get Gordon on the street with the fighting camcorder. And he goes up to, like, randos on the street and asks them if they've been to PJ's. And then he, like, does this whole recording and he's like, wow, this is great. Great to know. Great to know. And then this is shocking. And then he takes them to a movie theater for some reason to show them the movie of PJ Steakhouse, why it went wrong, or whatever the fuck they call it.
We decided that the TV show budget for this episode was enough to rent a movie theater.
Well, because they didn't have to renovate a restaurant this time. So, we get some very negative comments from people. This one lady says that she ordered a salmon and got a flounder. Very different fish.
Very different fish. Not even the same color.
Nope. One's pink and one's white. Like, other people are saying that the food is bad. They waited too long. All of this. Meanwhile, like, Joe and Madeline look horrified and Eric is just, like, laughing because he's a dick. I also love that they show just shots of Gordon recording people. Like, was his camera even on? Like,
I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure. Think it was.
They just gave him a toy camera and they're like, okay, Gordon, go out and film people. We'll be right behind you. Like,
I'm right behind you getting the real footage because we don't fucking trust you.
Yeah.
Which honestly is fair because also he's a very expressive human being. And, like, I relate to that because I too am a very, like, physically expressive human being. So, like,
yeah.
Because that camera was not shaky at all when you saw the footage.
No. And he talks with his hands a lot. He
talks with his hands. That camera would have been everywhere.
He's always slapping his legs and, like, throwing his hands up in the air. He's very expressive. And then a bunch of the people say that they've told, like, this one lady was like, there are 64 apartments in my building and I told all of them not to go to PJ's or whatever. It's like, sure. Did you, like, put it on the bulletin board? Like, do you know all of them? You did not do that, but okay.
You did not do that. Also, you have to have, like, a wildly bad experience to do that. Because my building has that. We have, like, building link where you can, like, make recommendations or do whatever. And, like, I've had bad experiences at restaurants in my area. But I've never been so, like, violently angry about it that I needed to go on building link and be like, don't fucking go here.
I think that's also, like, the millennial approach, though. I feel like I don't know anyone my age uses, like, Yelp, you know? I've only ever gone on Yelp once, and it was because I actually had, like, a terrible experience with something. And I wanted to warn people to never go there. But it was never to, like, but I've never, like, intentionally gone on Yelp to, like, bash a restaurant I didn't have, like, a great time at. Because I just, like, won't go back there. I don't care.
I just won't care. Which, yeah. Gordon also usually brings up is, like, people, like, I had to go out and, like, get this information because people aren't going to tell you that they hated your restaurant. They're just not going to return.
Yeah, what's the statistic they always say? It's like 70% of people won't say the food is bad and like won't complain. They'll just never come back.
Yeah, they're not going to send it back. They're hungry. No. They'll eat it and not like it and then they just won't come back to your restaurant.
Yeah, they'll pay you the $10 for your like shitty Alfredo and then leave. So then we get into dinner service number two, which I called Eric's last chance. This time we have a special on the menu. We have a mixed grill. It is a like charcuterie board type thing of different meats and like fries and shit. It's like a sausage and a steak and a slider. It's like a lot of random stuff for some reason.
I hate the concept of the mixed grill.
Really? Why?
I hate it. Because you're fundamentally, like, I get that people, I don't hate it as like a consumer. I think as a consumer, it's a really cute idea. But yeah, like, you're working with a chef who already can't get anything out on time. And now you're saying like, great, so we have one dish where all these meats that need to be cooked to different temperatures at different times have to come out at the same time. And I'm like, so you're just inherently fucking him over.
Yeah, they set him up for failure pretty much. Like, he starts off the night with like an okay attitude about it, but then like the first ones come out and immediately come back because they're cold. And then everything comes back because it's cold or it's not good or it takes too long or whatever. And the whole night is just a mess. And then at the end of the night, Gordon says he's never seen anything that bad. And then Eric walks out and PJ's has to shut down because their chef left. And then Gordon's like, I will bring in a new chef because that motherfucker can't do anything right. So, hooray. So they fire Eric. Yay. Bye, Eric. Fuck that guy.
It's a rare happening. Like, I mean, I know restaurants have, like, fired chefs before, but they've usually fired them and been like, but we have this, like, underrated sous chef who's going to step up to the plate or, like, something like that. I feel like this was one of the only times where Gordon was just like, no.
This episode was odd in the way that we didn't get to hear from any of the waiters, who all did a great job, I thought.
Great job.
And we didn't get to hear from any of the other chefs in the kitchen, because there were other chefs in the kitchen. And only, like, one of them got to talk once, and he was like, it's very frustrating because Eric just won't talk to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but, like, I want to know more about these people. I don't care about Madeline not knowing what a fucking menu is, like... And, like, stealing, like, holding people's coats hostages. What's the deal with Eric? I want the tea.
It was a really organized episode. I feel like it was so many things wrong, and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, this episode isn't my favorite because I feel like it's edited weird. It's one of the weirder episodes. It's one of the more, like, off-brand Kitchen Nightmares episodes, I feel. The next day, Gordon brings in everyone. They changed the name of the restaurant to PJ's Grill.
Okay.
I mean, sure, I don't know why that's different from a steakhouse, but okay. They didn't do a makeover, but they did put up a bunch of photos of PJ on a wall. They were the smallest photos on the biggest wall for some reason. Like, it's a very sweet nod, but they couldn't, like, blow up some of those photos a little bit bigger. Like...
Tiny.
Like this little itty bitty, like 4x6 postcard size photo of PJ to like honor him. And I was like, shouldn't that be like a huge?
It should be huge.
Shouldn't we make that like a
like take time out of my restaurant experience to step all the way up to the wall and be like, where?
Who is this? Also, there's like nothing on the wall indicating like who that is. So it's like,
there's no like description. It's just a bunch of photos.
It's odd. Also, this was the point in the episode where I was like, what is Joe's accent? Because he has one. But I don't know what it is.
I feel like he does because he says, like, he came to the States. So yeah. I spent a really long time trying to figure out where he was from.
Maybe it's somewhere in Europe. Maybe Russia? No, he's not Russian.
Not Russian. He'd have a very different attitude if he was Russian.
I feel like if he was Irish, he'd be drinking beer and not Shiraz.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's French.
Maybe French. Mm. You can't just blame the French.
I don't know. I don't know what he is. So, new restaurant, new photos, new phone, new menu. They have steak frites and Irish stew. Maybe he is Irish then. I don't know why they went Irish with this grill. I don't know. He also introduces the new head chef, Mark, who I said looked like a magician. Because he does. He looks like he does close-up magic in his free time. And then, what's the... His name is not Edna. I feel like this thing got it wrong. His name is like Enda, who is a restaurant manager for Gordon Ramsay. And he is there to train Madeline how to be a better restaurant manager.
And so Madeline starts out excited about that. And then is like, oh, I actually have to do things.
She's like, this is like a lot of work. I don't know if I want to do this. This like, is a lot of work, guys. So, relaunch night starts off to a great start. People are getting happy. And then, dun, 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 one of the customers from, like, the film that Gordon made shows up. And they're like, we have to make sure that his experience is the best out of everyone's. Because what if he tells people this restaurant is bad again? And it's like, who cares? He is nobody. Like...
You literally only care about him because Gordon happened to find him on the street. But, like, this man has no say.
Yeah, this man is not, like, a restaurant critic. Who cares? Like, this is a
personal vendetta, and we do not need to be dedicating this much drama to it. Also, you fucked up and sent his plate to the wrong table.
Yeah. Y'all are dumb. So then everything's turning out strong, and then Madeline goes and, like, chills at the bar with her friends. And then... Enda has to like come find her and is like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, I don't wanna. And then she finally goes over to check on the customers and she's like, oh shit, negative Nancy customer hasn't gotten his meal yet, guess I should go check on that. And it's because it got sent to the wrong fucking table. But other than that, the relaunch was a success. I would say it definitely was.
Yeah. I mean, it's risky because I feel like the reason it was a success was because, like, you had Enda and Mark who are not going to be there.
No. Well, I think Mark might have stayed on.
I think for a month.
Yeah. But here's the thing. At the end of the episode, they said that it closed anyways. So, oops.
Oops. Because at the end of the day, it's a lot of work, and they didn't want to do it.
No, they went back to construction. They went back to what they knew, and they made their money back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, are you snoring? He's snoring so loud. Oh, he's got his paws over his face, though.
Oh, I love when they do that.
He's very cute. Anyways, that's toothless. Did everyone miss my cat? He's so big now. He's just a baby. Quick cat tangent. Do you ever do the thing when they're cleaning themselves where they're licking a spot and then you go and rub it and mess it up and they get mad at you?
And they just look at you like, I just dusted.
Like, I just cleaned that side and now I have to do it again.
I do that all the time and it's really funny. Especially because like Turnip will stop doing whatever he's doing. And we'll just look at you like, what?
How did you do that?
What?
Mother, why? Anyways, PJ's. Any final thoughts on PJ's Steakhouse?
It was disappointing. Not the episode itself, necessarily. I mean, obviously, like, yeah, a proper drama. But I just, like... I really love the episodes where it's like, we want to do this, we're passionate about this, we just don't know what we're doing. Or like, the food is really good, we just don't know how to manage and we need help. Or like the inspiring ones. And this was just kind of like, we were people who shouldn't have done this, who recognized immediately that we shouldn't have done this, but did it anyway. And then at the end of Gordon trying to help us, we decided not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing. And again, that's the reason I've seen or heard at least that Gordon stopped doing this show, even though it was very popular. is that like people just weren't listening to him, and it can take a toll on you when you're trying to help people and they don't want it.
Yeah. Especially and I think, because like, even despite everything that people say about him, like he takes so much pride.
Oh yeah. Work. And like, he's genuinely trying to help them, I believe. Like, I'm sure he's kind of an ass about it sometimes, but like, he also at the end of the day seems like a genuine nice guy.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like he only wants to help people who want to be helped, and that like is not a thing all the time.
Yeah, this episode definitely felt like we're in where he was like, he had already given up on them before, because he was just like, no, I can't teach them what they need to know in like 4 days. Like, it's impossible. Yeah. So, do you want to know what happened next?
Yeah.
So, although the business had improved, PJ Steakhouse closed a few weeks after filming in May of 2010. They closed as they were taking in low amounts of money and the debts were really high. The owners returned to their previous career in construction. Yelp reviews and Urban Spoon reviews prior to close were very poor. So they were not getting good reviews, which makes sense when you have a chef like Eric. A German restaurant called Manor Oktoberfest has opened its place, and Yelp reviews are mostly good. PJ Steakhouse aired on February 4th, 2011. The episode was filmed in May of 2010.
Go Oktoberfest.
I wonder if that's still there.
I also want to know if that's still there.
I immediately forgot what that restaurant was called. Manor Oktoberfest. Googling it. Oh, there are a few of them. Forest Hills. It's still open. They got pretzels. They got burgers. They got bratwurst. They got beer.
All right.
They got chicken liver pate. It seems like very traditional German food. Should we go?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Except no, because I don't want to go all the way to Forest Hills.
Yeah, that's part of it. This one says it's in Elmhurst. I guess that's, I don't know if this is the same one. There's a few Manor Oktoberfest. There might be a chain. Oh no, this isn't Forest Hills. That is far though. God, that's far. That's way out there. There are like no trains that go out there. I guess the E train does.
There's like one train that goes out there. We're not going.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking the E train. You think I want to take the E train anywhere? Absolutely not.
No.
Well, that's been Ramsey's Recaps. Ugh. We did it. We're back.
What a downer to come back. Yeah. The next one will hopefully be better.
Yes, I believe the next one is better. I can look right now, actually. No, because I have Hulu open. What is the next episode? It is going to be season... Okay, so here's the thing. Season 3, episode 4 is a revisited that we are skipping. Because we don't need to do revisited because we do them at the end of every episode. We say what happened next. So the next episode will actually be season 3, episode 5. Grasshopper Also, which is an Irish restaurant in New Jersey owned by a couple, and the wife, her father is from Ireland, and he also is owner of the restaurant. And I remember that restaurant having real bad food. So this is going to be fun. I believe there's a full shutdown in that episode. So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun one for us. Can't wait. So excited. Well, Rachel, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Courtney. I always enjoy talking about Gordon Ramsay.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. So it's the end of the year, so everything is just kind of like, But yes. Yeah, my newest play, Little Egg Big World, is getting a stage reading with the National Women's Theater Festival, which is super exciting. gonna try and do some cool work on that before it hopefully premieres off Broadway in summer 2022. So
wow, look at you doing the things,
doing
stuff, going places.
How about you, Courtney? What you got going on?
Oh, I'm done for the year with my own shit. I did two of my own shows this past fall, and I am tired, and no, I'm just stage managing Petunia's Playhouse Live. It's a puppet show for children, so if you have children and you're in New York or the tri-state area, come to the new Ohio Theater this Christmas season and come meet Petunia.
It looks very, very cute.
It's very cute. The songs are very catchy and cute. It is very, it's very Blue's Clues. Like, kids will love it. So check that out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for listening, and thank you everyone for being patient while I got my shit together. And you know, we'll try to make this a weekly thing, if not a bi-weekly thing. We'll see how much I can keep up with it. Now that I'm less busy, Trailer Trashed is ending. So everyone go listen to Trailer Trashed, because the season finale of Trailer Trashed is also this week. And you can listen to TH Glee, which is my other podcast with my friend Elise. So, you know, I have too many things going on. But I love you all. I love my little donuts and my little idiot sandwiches. And Rachel, say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Ramsey's Recaps. If you liked this episode, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. If you want to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram at Ramsey's Recaps. You can also follow me on TikTok to see all of the recipe videos that go with the episodes at It's a Me Courtney 1. And if you want to support us financially, you can throw a few dollars our way on Ko-Fi. That's ko-fi.com/CourtneySile. The links to everything will be in the description, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.